So with many of the Brown County Board of Commissioners order, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Take a moment with me, pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the blessings you've given unto us. And we pray for those who are suffering in our country from the floods in California that are so unexpected. We also pray for those who suffer natural disasters around the world, and especially for those who are caught up in the wars that we know are taking place and the tremendous suffering that takes place to innocent people there. For them we pray, and we pray for the leaders of our country and the leaders of other countries around the world that we might see peace instead of war. Father, as Christians, we'll pray forever for peace and for those who suffer from the lack of it. Just now be with us in this meeting and bless the issues before Brown County. You've given us a very wonderful place to live. We thank you for that. And we pray that you would help us to further those objectives that would help all people in Brown County and those that we bring as tourists to visit with us. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Should have some copies of the agenda available out there. If you don't have one or want one, raise your hand and see if we can't get you one. Are there any additions to or changes?
I think we need to add and talk about the courthouse just a little bit. Builder Associates have turned in their eighth payment, and I'll just talk about it when we come up to it. DLZ had some comments. Talked to them the other day on the phone. I'll try and explain it when it comes up.
Okay. Let's see if we can put that either right after IT updates or other business. Probably under IT updates. You want to courthouse? Okay. Discussion. Okay. Are there any other changes or additions to the agenda? Hearing none. Okay. Have you all had a chance to look at the claims and minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Both.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of claims.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, sirs. Okay. First on the agenda is human resources. We have at least three issues there under. And I think we have Melissa here, if not
yes.
Donna.
Yes,
okay.
All right. So we're discussing nationwide 401 plan. We are introducing this to county government because it's never been spoken about. We have it in place as a Roth plan for, it used to be called Hoosier Start. And Nationwide has taken over and now has the 401 plan. I just wanted to bring it to light in a public meeting so we can start discussing it in our work sessions with council. We have a meeting with them on the 27th. So this is not a vote in. You have a copy of the deferred plan. If anyone in the audience would like to see a copy, they can also see a copy. It's not filled out. None of the intricate details have been discussed or decided as of yet, because those will have to come back to a public meeting and it will also have to go before council. But that's the start of the nationwide 401 plan. And then the next thing on my agenda is soil and water, and I do believe that Katie Starr is here. Yeah, if you want to come on up, thank you.
So I'm Katie, and this is Scott. Scott Stevenson is my board chair. Are you on now?
Okay.
I'm Katie Starr, and this is Scott Stevenson. He's my board chair, and we just want to come before the commissioners and see about getting our job description updated. Scott had Scott has some work too, also.
Thank you. Yeah, we're here to request approval of this revised edition. This we did submit this to the HR department in the fall, and HR submitted it to your consulting group for the company that works with your job descriptions.
Kent Irwin.
Yeah. And they sent it back to us. We did some revisions and edits and kind of went back and forth a few times. And it was agreed upon. It was okay at that point. So we're now in front of you asking for approval of that job description.
Fine job, by the way. But it looks to me well written, and you guys have already jumped through the hoops, so I don't have any problem going ahead and making a motion to.
I couldn't hear you. You say you work with her?
He's her board.
I'm the chair of the board right now.
Okay, chair of the board.
Yeah.
Did you have a question about?
I did have one question in the job description, which I do not know because I've not been in HR until just here recently.
Recording in progress.
It says that supervisors assign staff. Do you have staff?
We do. We have a part-time educator.
Okay. Good.
And we also do have interns.
Okay.
It's been our practice to have an intern every summer.
Okay.
And our district manager supervises them as well.
Wonderful. Okay. That's the only question I had. Just a reminder that job descriptions are voted on by the commissioners, and so salary will be adjusted, and any of that stuff that happens will happen in the council. So you'll have to discuss that. Okay,
and once again, I'll go ahead and move to adopt this as proposed. Appreciate you, all the hard work you guys did.
Thank
you. I'll go ahead and second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye. I do have an answer to a question you asked a while back, though, while you're here. You asked about volunteers on doing something with invasive plants. Insurance company has told me that that's probably okay.
Okay.
That volunteers are covered. I have another issue that don't have anything to do with you, but I keep liking to run that stuff by the insurance company.
Sure.
To make sure that at some point we don't cross a line.
We can do that, no problem.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, and then we have these two positions have always been positions, the highway supervisor and assistant highway supervisor job descriptions. But we sat down, Mike, myself, Donna, and Jerry, and went over the job descriptions, and then the ones that we made together with the assistant supervisor I sent off to Kent Irwin's office. And then the one changes that we made to supervisor that Mike sent me a letter with what he felt needed to be changed. I sent those also off to Kent Irwin's office, and they came back. Mike went over both of those job descriptions. He did feel like the one job description needed to be added, that possibly they would be working on Fridays, and that there needed to be a correction. There's just an H where it needs to have a TH. Lori is fixing that. But other than that, they are ready to be voted on tonight, so we can go ahead and pass that.
I have a few questions.
Sure.
I didn't know he was retiring. Are you retiring?
Be careful on what you ask, because personnel issues can't be discussed in this meeting. If it's pertaining to this, fine. If it's not,
it's pertaining to this.
Let's not veer off the rails here.
This is just job descriptions and not actually. We can't talk about personnel in public. Even if it's favorable, even if we want to talk about it, even if he wants to talk about it, we're just, the law states that we're not supposed to talk about that.
Anymore. He can't make any comments on the job description.
He can make it to comment on the job description.
Do you have any comments on the job description, sir?
I do look at them, and I actually love the comments that I had them incorporate in there were things that I had started working on 2 years ago. So some additional requirements, like some of the other things that I do with the grants and with some of the certifications that you have to have to deal with, fuel and all kinds of different things. A lot of stuff government, state, federal regulations that have changed that were never incorporated into the description. So I had a two-page letter of all this additional stuff that need to be put in there, and it is in there now. So it's not 100% complete, but it's a lot better than what it was.
Okay, I guess another question would be, the assistant superintendent, that's a job, not an appointment?
It is a job.
It is a job.
Yes.
Okay, now you're saying there's some things that need to be changed in this?
Just the H needs to be to a TH for Thursdays.
Typographical error.
Typographical error. That's
okay,
it.
So if you make a motion, we say subject to that, contingent on that being changed?
Yep.
You're good
sure
with
can.
It, sir?
Yep, that'll be good.
Okay, I'll go ahead and make a motion, contingent. I have to get the proper verbiage in there.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
I think you got salt, Melissa?
Treasurer. Yep, that's
yep.
it.
Okay, we're ready to, for the treasurer of Brown County. Come forward. And we are going to suspend the commissioners' meeting momentarily until we finish with the treasurer's report, board of finance report.
Nobody does more disruption than you when you show up.
Well, you know. All right. Well, thanks for suspending. Going to call the Board of Finance meeting to order. We need to start with asking for nominations for President for the Board of Finance. This is where someone nominates.
Don't let jump.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm looking for a nomination for that.
And you're
it's usually the treasurer.
Yeah.
So.
I nominate you, Andy Bond.
Do I hear a second?
I second that, right. Wholeheartedly.
Thanks. All in favor? Raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
All right. Now we get to do secretary. So, don't everyone jump for that one either. It can be any of you. Ron is our current secretary.
I would make a motion that we keep Ron because he's done a spectacular job in that.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor, raise your right hand, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, so there you go, Ron, you're secretary again.
Try to educate me a little better this time. I'll try and keep up.
Well, Sandy's done a wonderful job taking your notes for you.
Thank you, Sandy.
You're welcome.
Basically, you're just supposed to take the notes during the meeting, type them up, and yeah. So.
I will thank you.
He's going to type them up. I'm sure he is.
Yeah. So, okay, so on to the review of my investment report. I gave you guys copies of what our interest is. So, for 2023, our interest for the year, all banks, all money, was $863,396.76. So it's way better than it was the previous year. Yes.
Is that the best it's ever been?
No. Goodness, no. But it's better than it has been for a good while.
But you're attributing that increase to the prowess of the treasurer.
It is not all me. I will say I do use my banks as I should. If I'm getting a higher interest rate with one, I will say something to others and see if I can't get our interest rate raised with our other banks.
Appreciate you doing that.
So, no problem. We're still, our operating bank is still People's State Bank. They are wonderful, great to us. I suggest we don't change ever.
That's the bank where we have our checking account.
Yes, yes, our operating
bank. We have other banks that we have investments
with.
We do.
Yes. And those are listed in the investment policy. So that's the only change in the investment policy from last year to this year, are the banks that we are actually have any investments with. So, other than that, we still have the health trust investment policy we do need to change. I sent...
Actually, if Mike Moga is on with us...
Yes.
Okay. He's going to address that with you today.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Mike?
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
The discussion on dissolving the health trust fund.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and draft that up. No issue with that. I got that email, and I just need, by the next meeting, I'll have the actual ordinance drafted up, though.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, well, good. That's getting taken care of. Other than that, I really don't have anything to present unless you guys have any questions.
Well, it sounds like our finances are in order.
So far, so good.
You're welcome. Where's that money get distributed to?
It's in the investment policy. It goes into County General, all except one line, and with our Trust Indiana Bank, it goes to Salt Creek Trail. It goes into a fund for them, and that's what they use for repairs or anything like that. So that's the only money that goes to a separate bank. Or fund, sorry, not bank, separate fund.
I was like, bank?
Yeah. No. But other than that, all the other money goes into the County General.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? No? All right, so, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All right.
Second.
All in favor?
Motion and a second.
Yep, we're good.
All in favor, raise your hand and say aye.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Andy. Okay.
Okay. Is Kayla's not here, is she? In your information there, we have, and it's marked all over, and if anyone picked any, it says on there, this is simply a draft.
Jerry, I better go back to the meeting.
We need to reconvene.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Yes, we need to reconvene the commissioner meeting at this point in time, and there a motion to that effect? Need a motion?
Make a motion to read.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Sorry. All right, so this is just simply a draft of what we would like to propose. I have had a couple sets of eyes on it already, and people have made some suggestions. So
what are we looking at here?
We're looking at the draft for an ordinance to temporarily allow overnight camping and supporting amenities through the countywide in connection with the total eclipse on April the 8th of 2024.
So did we miss the nationwide 401 plan? Did I miss
that? That was the very first thing we discussed.
So we're going to have the professionals look at that?
Mm-hmm. And then we're discussing it in the council commissioners meeting on the 27th.
Have you seen this, Mr. Councilman Kemp, before you run off?
What?
Have you received any of the information for the 401k stuff?
Run like the wind for us.
Well, it just
are you talking about the Indiana Start,
yes.
Hoosier Start, and the 401A and the 457?
It's kind of in your area.
He's
been
right
working
up
on
my
this
lane,
for a
right?
while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, right. So you're going to have eyes on that?
And my intent is to, Gary and I spoke today, had a two-hour meeting today, so the 27th, I think. I've got that on my calendar.
Yeah.
So that we can discuss the... that whole issue.
Not before you got away. I just wanted to...
Well, I appreciate it. No problem.
Thank you, sir.
I got to go put the horses in.
And we did want to say that we appreciate your hard work on County Council.
Well, thank you very much.
You.
And I appreciate you guys as well.
Yes.
Good.
Two sides.
All right. So this was actually drafted by one of the members of the VZA board. And just as a suggestion on how we could move forward with this. And so we're just asking everybody's opinion. We're going to ask that we have a special session meeting next Wednesday to, Mike is going to do a resolution compiling these ideas together after we have discussion. And then this would be, we have to have two readings. So we have to have a reading for the first ordinance reading, and then we'll have to have, the second one would be March 6th. If we wait much later than that, then we will be running, it's too close.
Yeah.
So this is just an ordinance change, just temporarily. The date actually has been changed from this one. They suggested that we move the date that goes from April on the Thursday before to the April the 4th through April the 10th instead of the 9th. And then today I actually sat down with Chad Jenkins, which is our EMA director, and he has some verbiage that he would like to see in this. He went over it. He was also, he says that he cannot do risk management, but the things that he wanted, he had questions on, he asked today, and so he's got his suggestions down on it also. So we will need to get those to Mike no later than I would think Friday, and then he can draft the ordinance, and so we need to vote to have a meeting for next Wednesday to go over the ordinance.
What time next Wednesday?
What time do you want to do it? It'd be a 2 or a 6.
Pardon?
2 o'clock or 6 o'clock?
6 in the morning.
Probably 2.
Okay. And I know that there has been phone calls to our office, but we probably have people in the community that would like to speak tonight.
There's some verbiage and stuff in there that I know it sounds they have to be compliant to all the laws or whatever. What I read in there was if it was 300 or more campers. So does that mean if it's less than 300, they don't have to do any of that?
That's not for me to ask because I didn't draft this. So okay, if that's your question, put it on there and we will have that answered.
Another thing is it appears that if it's camping, that there's a tax on it. And there possibly could be innkeeper's tax on there. This goes back to, I'm going way back, 1984, when the innkeeper's tax was created. It says even primitive camping is subject to innkeeper's tax. And I would think that would also make it subject to sales tax. So there's no way escaping state and federal taxes. And personally, I think this is too short of a time because I've been working with the EMA for over a year on this. We've already got our hands full. That's my opinion. I don't know how you're going to get around this. I don't think you can waive the innkeeper's tax or sales tax. So that would have to be included, and that means they'd also have to have a retail merchant certificate license. This is all stuff. This is all stuff legal.
Not for primitive camping. I wouldn't think you would have it.
I actually believe that's in here. I should have probably marked it. But I think do you have any comments there, Mr. Whopper?
That would actually come from Mike, and Mike is looking over this with his attorneys. Mike, do you want to speak in reference to this?
Yeah, can you guys send me the county innkeeper's tax? I know that was before my time, but I mean, we can choose to waive that likely in such an ordinance for this specific purpose. In terms of sales tax, Commissioner Sanders said that is a Indiana thing, but that's going to apply to, you know, whoever's making the money, making the sales off of this.
And I feel like that what we've gotten into on this is the fact that this is such an unusual event that it doesn't apply. If you feel like the police have already said they can't go out and do any policing, the emergency services can't go out and do any emergency pickups. If you have an accident 6 miles away from town, they can't get there. So if you think that somebody 6 or 10 miles away from town is going to get somebody to come out and say, by the way, let's see your sales receipts today, and I want to make sure that the 7% goes into the state coffers. Probably not going to happen. So well, what I think that Mike is getting to and what he's studying up on is the fact that that whole 4th to the 10th, there's something that is immune from normal procedures. But he'll get back to us and let us know.
I believe I have a paragraph here. It says that beginning April 1, 1984, until further amended by ordinance, the gross retail income derived from lodging of every person engaged in the business of renting or furnishing for periods of less than 30 days, any rooms, lodging, or accommodations in any commercial hotel, motel, inn, tourist camp, or tourist cabin located in Brown County, Indiana. Yeah, this is so old that it's got a 3% sales tax on it.
Well, I wonder if there's any modifications to that.
Looks like we've got information.
Treasurer again.
You're not going to suspend
it. No, I'm not going to suspend it this time. We collect the innkeeper's tax in our office. I'm sure there's an updated ordinance. I don't know.
It's 5% now, I believe.
It is 5%. Yes, you're correct. So if I go camping down at Horseman's Camp, when I make my reservation, there is no innkeeper's tax. There is sales tax, but no innkeeper's. We get it for Abe Martin Lodge, but that's lodging. That's rooms. I don't think there is, and don't quote me 100%, but I don't think there is on campsites.
Okay.
So just to say, I think your ordinance that you're looking at is outdated. I think there's probably a newer one.
I believe Mr. Patrick in the back has something.
I'll recognize.
Yeah, I believe it's 1990, the most recent Brown County one. That's what I'm seeing on the Indiana Department of Revenue. So if you guys can find that copy, that'd help.
Okay.
So I just so happened, Kevin Patrick speaking, I just so happened to look at the innkeeper's tax. And if you look in there, there's no specific mention of campsites, but the state and the federal government are exempted from any innkeeper's tax as it's considered for campsites. So it's not clear as to whether there is or is not.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So just that's a question that I have, and thank you for clarity there.
Thank you, future commissioner.
Oh, okay. just let me say this about the subject. We just brought this up tonight so there'd be as much advance warning to get out to people as we could because April 8th is coming upon us. Our attorney has not had time to review this situation. But that's what we hire him for, is to make sure that everything is legal, that we collect the appropriate taxes, if there are any. And I would like to leave it to his decision and his advice as to how we handle this going forward. However, time is limited, and I don't think this is something we want to put off for 2 weeks or a month or 6 weeks to study it. I think we need to move on this as quickly as we can and do what's right for the people of Brown County and our visitors. So let's see what our legal comes up with, and we'll proceed from there. Okay?
What I noticed was entertainment from, I think it said 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. So, and then now we're back to the 300 campers. Okay, you put 300 campers in.
I didn't put that in.
Well, I know, whoever did.
Right.
Whoever put the 300 in there. It don't stipulate less than 300. So
I think in Brown County we have an actual ordinance that states that at midnight everything is to be.
So what you might end up with is neighbors hosting these events.
You will have.
And their other neighbors.
Period.
And their other neighbors
have that, whether we
are pulling their hair out because of it. If this was an actual like tourist home or something where innkeeper's tax was going to be collected, you would have to send something out to each neighbor that's adjacent to that piece of property and see if they had any objections.
That's why I feel like that the attorney is going to do this once in a lifetime, 4th to the 10th. This is an anomaly that will probably never happen again in anybody's lifetime, so you don't have to send out the required mailing requirements and get feedback and all that. You can just do it that way, but we'll let our attorney take care of that.
And you all have read
the risk assessment from the EMA guy.
It's like every day for the last 2 months.
Okay. And that don't make neither one of you as nervous for
Well, I mean, 200,000 people being in the county, you know, is going to make you either a little bit nervous, but they're coming anyway. So let's do the best we can with what we got to work with. Right?
Okay, so my only thing is, working in the office, I've received phone calls from Story Inn, which is a business, which can have people there all day long. They can have food and beverage, and they can be there the entire day taking the eclipse. And would you rather them stay there and camp and be there till the next day?
You're confused.
No.
I'm not.
Because they do not have a license to have camping on their property,
okay.
So they have to have either a different kind of waiver for their property, or they have to have this happen.
I'd be more than willing to look at any business wanting to do this.
Okay.
That's what they're in business for, to make money, and that makes sense to me.
Okay.
That private individuals spread all over the county, when we're going to be so thin on our people doing the public safety, I believe you're compiling problems on top of problems. That's my opinion. So.
Do we have people here that want to talk about it? Because they're the ones that have been called.
I'd be more than happy to have some input.
Sure.
Name's Jimmy Tilton. I really think we need something like this for a number of reasons. For one, just to step back a little bit, we need to be prepared as a community. And I don't know if we can be prepared enough. And time is of the essence. A camper, when they come in, there's a little bit higher expectation of, okay, you're camping, you're going to bring some supplies with you. You might bring some food, you might bring some water. You're not going to have that with a day parker. The day parker is going to come in, he's going to come in and try to come out, go home. Well, that's going to eat up the bandwidth on the highways. State Road 46 is going to be really packed on the day of the eclipse. So anything that we can do to help the safety of EMS and being able to get to people and get them to a safe location, a hospital or whatever, is a help. And another thing is, if you don't do something like this, well, they're probably going to come anyway.
Yeah.
But we need to be able to help mitigate some of the things that might that happen, like ruts in your road or farm or whatever. How are you going to pay for it if you don't collect some money? So collecting some money can help pay for repairing of your land. It can also help so you can afford to have security and some medical personnel on site. These things are good things. We want to have people have a safe time, an enjoyable time, so they come back. Because we're a tourist community, we want people to have good memories and have something that we can count on that helps us achieve safety, and a good memory is good for our community.
Thank you, Jimmy. You're always eloquent. Well stated.
I believe anything 300 or more, it states the way it's currently written, that you have to provide security.
Yeah.
And medical. The way it's currently written. Anybody else want to talk about it?
This is your chance.
Anybody else want to speak?
I can't even imagine having 300 people on my field, in my field, let alone.
That's a question. Is that 300 people or 300 campers?
Right.
They could have six people in each camper, and that make 1,800 people.
Campers not defined in this.
Actually, that's what Chad asked for us to do, was define what a camper means. Is it a human, or is it a camper, or is it a tent? Like, what are we talking about? So that was one of his, so that needs to be defined. So I will start on that first thing tomorrow morning.
And we will let our legal advisor strap this up, and we'll discuss it after.
Do you have anything, sir?
Yeah. We got another one.
I you guys doing today?
Good, sir.
My name's Daniel Prisbella. I second what he said. It was well articulated. I'd like to add to it a little bit as well. So being a property owner, I've already experienced trespassing in less than peak seasons on the property. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming if you have jam-packed traffic and they see two roads going up with complete unadulterated access to a field, why not pull up, destroy the property, disregard everything else? Mm-hmm. Giving us the ability to plan for it, mm-hmm. make some money from it, prepare for the damage, the trash, security, risk. I mean, like already stated, EMS and police are not going to be able to do anything about it anyway. What are they going to do about trespassers?
Nothing.
Nothing. Being able to provide insurance on the property financially instead of taking it out of my... If somebody gets hurt on my property, regardless if they're allowed to be there or not, I will be liable. Mm-hmm. Allowing to collect funds to protect from that is a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. Plus, the furthering more tourism will be able to come into Brown County, stay, alleviate the traffic burden, increase revenue on the town. Mm-hmm. I don't see why a once-in-a-lifetime event in our lifetimes would cause that much issue.
Have you ever thought about running for office?
No.
You might want to.
I hate politics.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? If not, we'll move on to the next.
We just need to set the meeting for next Wednesday.
Okay. 2 o'clock, you said?
What's your name,
Jeff?
Okay.
Yes, yeah,
2 o'clock. Okay, it'll be 2 o'clock next Wednesday.
Which is?
The date is the 28th. So make note of that if you wish to attend. 2 o'clock, the 28th of February. And that's not the last day of February this year either. This is a leap year, so there will be a 29th. Okay.
Okay, so then we need to go back because I skipped Julia, Brown County Grant.
Yeah,
you just wanted to keep her interested.
That's right.
Just walk right over.
I sure did.
Our grant policy, you guys have had a chance to look at our grant policy.
Absolutely.
And you haven't looked. Huh?
Mike has read it.
And Mike has read it, but you haven't seen it?
Yeah, I've read it.
They got it. They got
How do you like it, Mike?
Sorry. Yeah, look it to me.
Yeah, the grant policy.
So the commissioners can pass it as a resolution today if they'd like.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'd make a motion.
It's definitely necessary. Everybody needs to be informed about what's going on in the county.
It was well done. We looked it over thoroughly, analyzed it. We're impressed by it.
So we'll go ahead and I'll make Somebody's a motion that we go there. Ahead and approve that as...
Does somebody have a number on their resolution? Because, or in the audience?
No, I don't
got it.
Donna wrote it on the other...
I got it. It says it was scanned.
Yeah, no, it was scanned and emailed to everyone, but yeah. There should be a
hold
number
on, just a second.
On top of one.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. She's going to give you one.
Yeah, I got slammed on paper yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't remember saying this.
Ron, it's a policy when the different offices get their grants.
This is the one we want you to sign.
Yes, it's a policy that says that they have to come to the commissioners, ask if...
I've got this one. They've handed me this.
That's it. Yeah.
I haven't read it, though.
And the different really? Steps that it has to go through.
Been there for a minute.
Been there since when?
I've had it for a while.
Out for a while, yeah.
I mean, I get in, read my stuff, go home, come back, read my stuff, go home.
But then it's...
What if you're out on a bus tour?
Because I'm not on a bus tour. It'd be a motor coach if I was out.
Motor coach, okay.
Okay.
Can I borrow your motor coach?
Yeah. Would be. So anyhow, I was on the... Verge of making a motion that we adopt this as a resolution, right?
Right, with that number.
Yeah. And the resolution number 2024-02-21-01.
Yeah. Okay. Motion. Do I hear a second? I kind of like this because we've had a lot of... a lot of confusion and a lot of lack of reporting, mm-hmm. and information sharing about grants over the last several years that I've been commissioner. I think this is an excellent idea to get everybody on the same sheet of music and have an actual policy and procedure for how these grants are to be handled. There's a lot of good money out there that we might want to go after, although we have to remember always that almost every grant has a match. And so, you know, if we get $1 million, that's one thing. If we got to match it with another $500,000, then we have to think about that. But I want us to go after the grants that make sense for Brown County, and I think this policy will put things on an even keel for everybody. Well, I would second the motion.
Discussion? Yeah, it's probably fine. I'm not going to vote on this. I haven't read and had conversations on it.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Part of this job entails being prepared for our meetings and reading things that you're going to vote on. So.
Let's see.
Catch up with you. Thank you. Okay. We go on to Highway, I believe, is next. Mike?
Thank you. We've recovered from the little event we had last weekend, which was, it's kind of hard to predict what to do when they're forecasting 1 to 2 inches of snow and we get 6. So, but everybody survived, and that's good. We move on. We have replenished all of our, I still need a little more sand. I've got some salt coming tomorrow, but all of our pre-mixed bin, which we emptied out twice, that's all been remixed and full, and actually fuller now than what we had the first time. So Mark took care of all that. So we're back to normal. We're still spreading stone. I've got rain coming tomorrow, so things will get soft again. Back to more routine maintenance. The one thing that I do have, we talked about earlier, was with the big delay in ordering new equipment, I should have by the next meeting a draft quote on another truck. So they're looking at the soonest it could be available would be the end of this year, maybe into the first quarter of 25. That's kind of already in the budget. But I'll bring that back to you and have it down so you can review that so we can go ahead and confirm. They just need a confirmation of whether we want to have it in the queue and be ready to go or not so they can go ahead and plan to start building one as soon as they can get it. So the more heads up they have, the better, because if we wait too long, there's no chance of getting one in 24, so it'd be a, 25. The only other thing I had was on, we've got the draft of our phase two on the countywide bridge inspection. So I reviewed that, got comments back to them today. So hopefully they're at the end by the next meeting. We'll actually have the books so that you all get your updated book on the countywide inspection. We do still have the issue with the structure down on Mount Liberty that rusted out that I showed you the pictures a while back. So we're going to have to address that with some improvements, because one of the problems we're running into, if you remember what they called the EV signs, the emergency vehicles, where we had to post to 3 different levels of weight limits, and another one was unfunded mandates. What we got into was the fact that we posted the bridge at 3 tons based on our engineer's recommendation. When they do what the federal highway is now considering a safe load capacity, one of the options for the emergency vehicles, who it's kind of a, really doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's the way the feds look at it. I'll just leave it at that. One of the options is when they do their load rating calculations, one of the vehicles actually came out at a 2-ton rating versus a 3-ton rating, even though those vehicles don't travel our county roads. But as soon as you drop below a 3-ton rating, which has been the new federal highway rule for about the last 15 years, if there's a recommendation to go below 3 tons, they want the structure closed until it's fixed. So we may have to do an emergency closure, but if we do, I will let you know that immediately, probably first next week.
Yeah, I remember a bridge down on State Road 135 north of Freetown that had a two-ton limit.
Used to, we could do that.
Yeah.
And then they raised it to three.
I came up on that bridge weighing about 36,000 pounds.
Yeah, that didn't work.
And I couldn't go across that bridge unless I wanted to buy the bridge and wreck my truck.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, there used to be back years ago when I first became certified for bridge inspection, they used to allow the counties to post a 2 tons travel at your own risk. Then some people got involved and said, you know, state feds, attorneys, and everybody. No, that doesn't hold up. So either make it to where you can get a car and pick up across it, or it needs to be closed till it's fixed or replaced.
2 tons, I can't even go across. I can't walk across that before my January diet.
The other thing with inspection ratings is that's what's considered the inventory rating, which is your day-to-day posting of any vehicle. That automatically does include an operating rating, which requires a permit, which is usually another 30 or 40% higher. Well, they're not going to cut us any slack, apparently, and let us get into the overload rating. And so as soon as it drops below 3 tons, state's saying, close it and fix it. So we'll see what options we have. I have Mike Oberfell, who's the head engineer at USI. He's working on the different options, so I'll get that back to you as soon as I can.
A certain ton limit on a bridge doesn't mean that it will fall in if you go 3 pounds.
Right, you could.
Right.
it could stand there for 20 years with that rating. You could overload it for 2 years in a row, but then that very next vehicle, if the one in front of it caused the beam to crack.
Doomsday sayer.
It could actually be of illegal weight and take it down. I've seen that happen on some big trusses. It happened on the Jennings-Decatur County line about 25 years ago. They had a big, probably 150-foot span bridge that went down with a pickup, empty. The guy was going to work one morning, it fell in on him. So if somebody had been across it overnight with a heavy load, that caused it to be ready to fail, and he just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and luckily he survived.
2 ton will even cover half the cars and almost one pickup trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's and I don't disagree with that. It's a safety thing, and we want to get it fixed as soon as we can. So we'll have to move some money around, but we can make it happen. Well, basically what we'll do is we'll take those beams and grade off and do a different option, probably some concrete slab beams and something that could be put in there fairly quick, and then it would be good for 50 years. So, but like I said, I'll keep you updated on that as soon as I get some more information.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Anything else?
That's it.
I have a question for you. This may have been taken care of, but we got a letter about a tree hanging over the road.
Helmsburg.
You know,
I got the same letter.
You got that
letter.
Several questions. First of all, that tree is not on county property.
No, it is not.
It's hanging over the road, but it's not on our property.
Correct.
So I'm not sure we can go in there and cut it down, can we, without the...
We legally should have the property owner's permission.
Yeah.
And it's 40 or 50 feet in the air, which we don't have a bucket truck. This lady noticed it a month ago. She's from Evansville. They apparently just bought a place over by Lake Lemon. She thinks it's critical. It's been there for over a year. It's a splintered trunk, and the top's caught in the top of another tree on the other side of the road, so it just makes a bridge across. It hasn't changed in over a year. I explained all that to her, and she still thought that we needed to get out there and do something, and your very first point is very correct. The tree's not on our property.
Yeah.
So I advised her that maybe she should call the property owner also, and she didn't want to do that. I told her if we tried to cut it, it would fall on the utility lines and take out the utilities.
Right.
Then we'd be responsible for paying to have the utilities put back up. So we didn't want to get into that situation where we tore down the utility lines and took everybody's phone and internet and electric out up Helmsburg Road. So we've done the best we can. If it falls, we'll clean it up immediately. Actually, when that storm hit, there were 2 trees, and we've already cleaned up the other one. Because it fell in front of the line, this one broke off behind the line up on the hill.
Yeah. So you've seen the one on Greasy Creek that's been laying on the power line for about a year now?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's on the power line. So, OK,
okay, well, nobody can do anything. As soon as it snaps the power line, I'm going to guess the power company will come out at that point.
Yes.
On this thing, but it's been there a year.
And we have called the utilities at least 6-7 times.
Yeah.
Over the months, and they have
no response. You really put the fear of God in there, didn't you?
But they kind of see it the same way. It's not a high priority for them. So
it will be
when it comes down. It'll be the middle of the night when it's raining or snowing.
Is that a primary line?
No.
See, I was told by a certain company, and I won't mention any names here, but I was informed that they do not do tree trimming on secondary lines.
Right.
That they will only come out after the tree takes your line down and you're out of power, then they will come out and fix it.
And like I said, the main lines that are there are the old telephone and the internet. Now,
surface lines.
I'm sure the new fiber internet is more important to them than anything else out there.
Well, I wonder what is the county's liability if that tree comes down in the road, somebody hits it, or sort of like the old falling rock. You used to have signs that said, beware of falling rock.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they changed that to beware of fallen rock. I mean, the odds of the rock actually falling on you while you're in the road are so slim that the bigger danger is just running into the rock after it's fallen. So they changed the signs.
And that might be a good discussion for our county attorney, but...
Yeah.
You know, what we've always been told is that the trees falling are an act of God. We can't control that. Our job is to clean up the mess and get the road back open. So
let's not blame God on this.
Well, but somebody made the tree splinter and fall, and it wasn't us.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Mike. All right. Very good. IT updates. Laura.
Hello. The main update we need to talk about was switching our email to .gov from .us. So this will provide a lot more security. The .gov domain is just a lot more secure for many reasons, mainly the reason being that you have to prove that you are a governmental entity to obtain a .gov email address. So what I have proposed, and there are other reasons, cybersecurity reasons, voter fraud is one of the bigger reasons that we need to worry about this now, and with the push for it now, as we met with Homeland Security last week, and when she was here, she did say that there, as far as she's aware, there will be a big push during this year, this election cycle, that voters, to the public, that they should not trust any communication unless it comes from a .gov. So that's just going to be the big push in an effort to keep voter fraud at a minimum. So that's kind of why we're doing this now. I do know Julie heard this, a couple years ago, we knew we were going to have to make this switch. For grant submissions through whatever portal you do that through, Gateway, I think.
Mm-hmm.
To use any state system, you're going to have .gov email address. That's coming. They keep changing the date on it, but that's coming as well. So this is inevitable. We are going to have to do this. So I guess what I am proposing is that I go ahead and get this done as soon as possible. So we'll just switch from, I don't know, for example, Julia's ReevesJ at browncounty-in.us. She would be ReevesJ at browncounty-in.gov. We already own the .gov domain. Be a pretty simple switch, hopefully minimal crossing out on the business cards. The old email address will forward to the new one, will redirect to the new one, I guess I should say, for 18 months. That's the general standard recommendation there.
Well, probably nobody in the room has got more experience and expertise in IT than our IT director, so I would definitely defer to her in this and saying we need to act as expeditiously as possible to go ahead and correct what could be a security problem. So if we need to make a motion to do that this evening,
I would make one just to make
just go ahead and I'll just make a motion.
Yeah, I'm not sure what needs to be done. I don't know if the resolution...
Make a motion with the caveat that if we've left any stone unturned here, but I mean, the sooner the better. We got problems. We got an election coming up. We need to correct things. So,
Mike Boca, would that be a resolution, or just can they just vote to make that change?
Just a motion to vote on that change will do.
Okay, thank you.
Motion so made.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? It's a relatively minor-looking change. However, it does require a lot of people to inform others of the change in their address as well as...
I just ordered business cards, you know, 4 days ago, so so it impacts me as well.
The trade-off between, right, so, you know, the extra security and the small inconvenience, I think is well worth it. So. We have a motion and a second. Discussion. Anybody? Hearing none. All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen.
There's one more thing that's not IT that does has to do. She mentioned the election, and I did not get it on the addition to the agendas because it was handed to me at last minute. You have this in your stack. What this represents is Clerk Banks has asked that you vote this in for our early voting center, which will be held out at the Eagle Park. That's 1749 State Road 46 East in Nashville. This is where the clinic used to be. It's out by the baseball diamonds in Eagle Park. So she needs you to vote this in as the early voting, absentee voting place.
And is there any reason, ask Mike if there's any reason we can't, Mike?
You hijacked my IT update time.
You were done. You were fucked up. Oh, sorry. I'm going to get this done today, Laura. Do you want to keep talking?
Is there any reason, Mike Moga, is there any reason we can't go ahead and take care of this evening, this early voting venue?
I haven't seen this form, so I'm kind of hesitant to make a comment on it, but maybe you want to vote contingent on my approval?
Sure.
And that's my motion then.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I need just a couple minutes here to get you guys up to speed. Did you guys get any contact yesterday from DLZ? Okay. Seems like I was the lucky one to get the phone call.
I've been in conversation with them, but not yesterday.
Okay. Well, this is about the courthouse. There's a couple things going on here. We had talked about the fan going in. Evidently, the problem in the security entrance is it wasn't keeping up the heat. There's two heaters, and I think they had the heat turned straight out. They're trying to turn the heat down, so it blew down. Still an issue. I guess they figured out that there's some kind of problem with the thermostat that wasn't letting both heaters work, and they're going to take care of that. I know we've already decided to put a big fan in there. I don't know what kind of effect that's going to have, but they had the heat set at 84, and it was like 64 or something in there. It was 20 degrees off, so the heaters weren't keeping up. It's probably the reason why it was cold. The other thing is on this, I'll try and wrap this up real quick. I talked to the auditor about this. I don't quite understand the numbers here on the last payment. It originally looks like it was 134, 224, and now they're asking for 128, 01, 60. She's going to look into this tomorrow. I know there was the, 12,287 on the change order that we paid that could have changed the last payment. They're asking that they withhold $2,000 because of the grassy area to make sure the grass comes in, okay, until the spring. So the numbers aren't quite jiving. Julie's going to look into that. The other issue real quick was on the warranty. They was asking that the warranty, when we did our walkthrough down there, start on 12/21 of 23, because that's when we started using it, which I don't see a problem with that. They said that they did not have to have the answer tonight, since we're meeting next week. If we can get all this figured out and took care of, that would be good.
Okay.
So now what are they asking for that we need to address this evening?
It's too late. We've hit our, it's only 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's an hour off.
We've hit our limit.
We've hit our limit already. I just say we put it on the agenda for the next meeting next Wednesday.
Okay, perfect.
And we'll have it figured out by then, and have the numbers figured out by then, and we should know if the heaters and the security system area is working properly. And
put it right on there, Missy.
Okay.
And we'll go from there.
There you have it. Done. Finished.
Simple.
Okay.
Legal? Is that the only other thing, or?
Well, we're not quite there yet.
Addition to the agenda to.
Mom.
We already did that.
I don't mean to be difficult at all, but somebody has to run the meeting. I'm the president of the board at this point in time. Would you please let me address the next item on the agenda?
We hit the time limit.
We're not at any time limit. We have another hour to go.
Okay.
I say we live under 2 hours. It's
the courthouse.
An hour, about 2 or 3 minutes.
No, it's clock's an hour off, isn't it?
I think
it is. No. Huh? We've done that in an hour?
We did that in an hour. Yes.
We're good.
Man.
It's 7:01 according to the internet.
Well, I stand corrected.
It only seems like a lifetime.
It does.
Okay. You had asked to talk about the Dogtown Music Center, I believe.
Yep.
Okay. That's next on the agenda.
It's just that looking at the financials and doing the assets, and we're talking about capital improvements, that I think selling the music center is the answer. Why burden the taxpayers again?
Oh boy, there we go. So, is there any new information we're going to do on this that we have, or are we just dredging up the old stuff?
Well, I would. The council did leave, the member that was here.
Okay.
I'd kind of like to have. When are we meeting with the council?
27th.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk to the council on the 27th. And what time is that meeting, Melissa?
I believe it's 1:30.
1:30.
Okay. I will verify that.
And it's here. It's here.
27. It's 1:30.
Let's see if we can get some feedback from the council. Is the financial advisor going to be here?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Well, let's get his opinion.
Okay. So basically, we're not going to sell it tonight?
Oh, no. Okay. I'd have to have at least one of you and 4 county council members to
more than that.
And we got a long way.
More than that.
We got a long road to go for that, sir.
But anyhow, you keep that up. Well, it worked last time.
That's what I campaigned on. I'm just trying to honor what I campaigned on.
Okay. There you go.
Why do people put me here, sir?
Okay.
Okay, anything else on the music center? If not, we'll move to legal. Mike, do you have anything for us further?
Nothing else to add, thank you.
Okay. I would entertain a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting adjourned.
I don't need lunch. I ate dinner.
There you go.
That's the reason I stay slim.
Thank you. Well, I have both here.
Thank you so much.